And good morning. It's another Tom and Shane podcast. Tom Eaglehoff in Bozeman, Montana. Shane Matobin, alive and well, half man, half amazing, in Kamloops, Canada. We're happy to be with you. Hey, if it's your first time here, why not subscribe? Ring the notification bell, like us, because that boosts us in the ratings a little bit with YouTube, so we appreciate it if you would do that. Also, if you'd like to support us monetarily, there are some great benefits for doing that, and there's a link in the description below to do that. And also, if you'd like to make podcasts like this, we use StreamYard, and there's a free link to that in the description below, so you can try it out and see if you like it. Today, we're going to talk about Guantanamo, Guantanamo Bay. I don't know, Shane, is it still relevant? Is it? We're not at war with anybody. I don't think we've captured anybody on the battlefield lately.
So no, that's right.
So what's the deal? Yeah.
Well, it's a 45 square mile piece of Cuba. Interesting thing is that, just some context for people that may or may not know, Cuba is... an amazing place. It's not a very large island. 64% white, 27% mixed, and just a little bit more than 9% black, which is quite interesting in the context of the population. And it's one of these places that we look at because it's so far. I mean, it's so close to the United States. And. And the interesting thing about it is that, there's less than 11 or just about 11.2 million people on the island. But, they're having a real hard time. They always have been. Their GDP in 2015 was $254 billion and nominal. Now it's down to around $107 billion today. So, the sad reality is that it started out as a indigenous island, before the Spaniards came. There were basically three indigenous people, the Caño, the Chibone, and the Guanahatabe. And they're all gone now. They were wiped out by disease and insurrection and annihilation by the Spaniards. And then, of course, the great thing that took place was 1898, the Spanish-American War, because of the sinking of a ship in the harbor of Spain. And that ignited a war between French and the Americans against Spain. And the result of it, of course, was the Americans won. And May 20th, 1902, Cuba became independent. Now, the reason that's important is because in the original treaty of 1901, for $20 million, the U.S. bought Puerto Rico, Guam, Cuba, and the Philippines from Spain. $20 million for those properties. They gave independence to Cuba and the Philippines, and they've kept Guam, and they've kept Puerto Rico. So, that gives you an idea. Now, the Guantanamo Bay came about because of Cuba's independence. The U.S. agreed to their independence in 1901, but the Platt Amendment that was passed had seven stipulations for the U.S. to remove their troops, and one was to give up Guantanamo Bay, which is a huge harbor, fabulous naval harbor. So that's how we got it. That's where we're at. Now we're going to talk about everything everyone wants to know today about Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. Well, the question is it still relevant? Do we, there's been a lot of talk about why don't we shut it down? Do we really need it any longer? Is there, I realize we still have some people there, and I go back to Bo Bergdahl, who was traded for five Taliban leaders that are now higher up in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have anybody there who's still a danger or?
No, there's not very many. There's around 270, I believe, there's less than that now. I mean, there's 37 that remain, but, let's look back again, because it's really important. 1991 in the Haitian earthquake, There was a massive amount of Haitian people that left the island on boat and wanted to head to the U.S. So Bush Sr. had the Navy pick them up, the U.S. Coast Guard, and they took them all to Guantanamo Bay. And they set up refugee camps. Now, this is great. 52,000 refugees they parked mm-hmm. By 1994. And anyway, very few of them came to the United States, less than percent of the 52,000. The rest were returned to Haiti. So that gives you an idea of how large it is and the facility can be utilized because of it's a great piece of the island. There's a small hill on the property that gives you them sight. And there's, 147 miles of fencing that they put up, plus secondary fencing, with a minefield. So, as a military base, particularly in the Caribbean, it's too critical for the United States to consider giving up.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I remember reading was prisoners there gained on average about 18 pounds while they were incarcerated there.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Good or not. So, well, what about the military force? We still have a military contingent there, obviously.
That's right. And it's not very significant. I mean, it's, When you look at it in terms of how many people are there, it's around 6,000 to 10,000, depending on the need. It's mostly Marines and Army, and they claim the annual budget, to take care of these inmates is like $78,000 a year. It's not really that much. It's far mm-hmm. less than that. That's just the media. But
I don't think you could feed that many people for $78,000
exactly.
a month alone. The maintenance and everything you need to keep the place running.
Yeah, the Navy in the United States spend about $540 million a year. Mm-hmm.
To maintain. That's a little more facility. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be in the millions.
It's 40 million. And, while there is a cost to the prison, it isn't just to maintain the existing inmates. There are other refugees, actually, that are there, but no one talks about it.
Hmm. Yeah. Are they refugees imprisoned or?
No, they're
just on the island. They're just on the base.
The facility has two parts to, there's a, high risk detention, and they're mm-hmm. in a prison, and then there's a camp there for refugees because was established with Bush Senior and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess the question is, what do you do with the people that are there? They haven't had their day in court. Certainly, they've just been sitting there for years and years. So.
Well,
turn them loose or take them to some tribunal or what?
Well, no, they have tribunals there. They're military tribunals. Mm-hmm. They're very, very mm-hmm. slow. And that's been the big political issue.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, of course, is that anybody that comes to the United States immediately gets their guarantees under your constitution. So, the media's always looked at Guantanamo Bay as one of these black ops situation. Mm-hmm. And, under the Patriot Act, of 2002 after 9/11, even America, I mean, that's how they put people in solitary confinement from January 6th was, the Patriot Act. Well, you're a mm-hmm. terrorist. Yeah. So we don't you don't have a right to a lawyer. You mm-hmm. don't have a right to a speedy trial. Oh, and we're going to put you in detention. And solitary. It's happening right here, country now with Americans. Mm-hmm. But the fear of having any of these people come here, they wouldn't treat them like mm-hmm. that because Americans don't really understand what is going on with these people from January 6th. If they really did, they'd be outraged because they're being treated mm-hmm. worse than the guys in Guantanamo. I mean, they've got a soccer field, and they got a cricket field, and You know, they're outside all day long, three squares, TV, books, you know, they can pray, you know, the whole
thing. They got the whole nine yards. I think even the toilets face east or whatever they're supposed to, whatever direction they're supposed to face. I don't know.
East. Well, they face towards Mecca.
That's the point. Yeah.
They would face northeast, I guess.
I don't know how they know, but I guess they just take the word of the captors that. Yeah, we did that.
They do it by the sun. They do it.
All right. So at least they know the general direction, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. But yeah, well, I don't know. Guantanamo's always been a big deal. Cuba's always been a big deal. Shane, as you know, Obama opened it up. Trump closed it back down. Biden opened it back up. You know, it's one of the few communist countries left, I guess, in the world.
That Venezuela and Cuba, that's about it.
Well, you gotta throw China in there, probably. They're quasi communist, I guess, and Russia, same thing, but anyway.
And everybody knows the story from The Godfather. You know, the mob was building up Cuba in the 40s and 50s, building casinos. So I mean, as countries go, it's a developing country. It's not third world. They just don't have access to a lot of things because of, the American.
Well, trade restrictions and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's only, what, 75 miles, I think, from the United States. And then you have the whole Cuban Missile Crisis with Castro and Khrushchev. And so, you know, that established a bit, you know, it's, you know, presidents come along once in a while and establish a presidential guideline for the world, you know, and that was Kennedy's, you know. Any movement of nuclear weapons to Cuba would be unacceptable and considered an act of war.
Yeah.
You know, next week's tease is nuclear weapons on Tuesday, if you want Thursday. But, I mean, we'll talk about that maybe again in the future, because people should hear about it because they need to know what's going on in the threats that Putin's making today.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly true. So, well, I always thought it was interesting that if Cubans made it to Miami, they got to stay. If Haitians made it to Miami, they were sent back. And,
that's politics and policy. Yeah. But, but now under your new administration, anyone that puts a foot on your land, they're in.
They're here.
Get out of jail free card.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So. Your president's playing Monopoly and he's monopolizing every state to hoard, illegal immigrants and thinking they're all going to vote for Democrats. Well, why would they come to America with the dream and then vote for the people they ran away from? I mean, that makes sense to me.
The Democrats have a pretty good disguise, free stuff. They'll give you free stuff if you vote for us. You know, you get free food, free housing, and all this stuff, free medical, free education. We'll take care of you from cradle to grave. And why would you not vote for us?
Well, that may be true more so in the United States because it's already here. And they come here and they see it and it's everything that they dreamed of. And then they get the benefit of having it all and for free. You know, but in Cuba, you know, it's the same, it's the same promise. You know, everything's inexpensive and free, but there's nothing there. There's no medical system, although they pride themselves on medical research. That's one of the biggest aspects of their economy. And of course, sugarcane. But, you know, people aren't using sugar as much as they were. And
corn syrup now. So,
yeah, it's corn syrup now.
Yeah. Well, they do have a boatload of 56 and 57 Chevys there. So, you know,
incredible.
Can't get any cars in. So you just keep making the rebuilding the ones you have. So,
yeah. I'm sure there'd be several shops that would get, shows on TV about maintaining classic cars, you know, not to mention what they've sold for, right?
I would think so. Wendy's in the house. Wendy, happy to have you along with us. Thanks for the comment. Thanks for being here. Yeah. So, well, I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer to this, Shane. This thing is probably going to keep going. We're probably going to keep these people here till they're all gone. And I don't know.
Well, it's, look, militarily, it's too dangerous. It's too close to the United States.
Yeah.
It has an excellent harbor for an entire fleet. I mean, you could park an entire U.S. fleet in Guantanamo Bay in the harbor.
Yeah.
And you don't want anybody having access in any way to the Caribbean, because these are all despotic countries, unfortunately, that, you know, they're all pretty much ruled by dictators. But the fact is that they're conservative dictators. So, you know, politically, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of surprising that in a communist country, we got a U.S. base there.
It's an oxymoron.
They haven't kicked us out of Cuba. You know, they haven't said, "Hey, we're done with you. Get the hell out of here. This is our country."
Yeah.
Well,
the U.S. has a lease, and they used to pay it in gold.
Oh well, if they've got a lease, oh my God.
They have annual payments that used to be paid in gold, but it isn't anymore.
Yeah.
After 1940, Truman ended that, but. Or FDR and Truman, whatever, but not, you know. But they do pay the Cuban government for the property. But it's not one of these, you know, 99-year leases or anything. It's a forever deal because it's embedded in the constitution of Cuba. So when Cuba became independent, it's in the constitution that the U.S. will have the right to this 45 square miles for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the Panama Canal or, or Hong Kong to the British where, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just, cut it loose and see you later and, you know, move out.
Yeah, that's right. So, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there. It would be smart to have something in that part of the world. We don't have a whole lot we got a lot on the east coast of the United States, obviously.
Well, and you have Puerto Rico, and that's not far away. Mm-hmm. As I pointed out, you ended up with that with the Philippines and Cuba and Guam. Guam, look at Guam from the Spanish for $20 million. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, 110, 20 years ago. That's a pretty good deal. That's as good as Alaska when you look at it.
Well,
Strategically, Guam, Puerto Rico, Cuba. They gave up the Philippines. Probably a smart move. I think that was the end of thinking that the United States, and this is sort of important, I think that was the end of the United States thinking that they would expand outside the continent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought growing up and reading about all this and, you know, thinking through it. And, you know, why didn't the United States, instead of all this foreign aid and everything, say, if you want us to help, you become a state. Follow our guidelines, follow our rules, follow our laws, and become a state. You got to be a territory first, you know, and go through the process. But I just think that the Americans, because of what they saw in the world at that time, and remember who was president, you know, that wonderful, you know, KKK loving leftist policy, Woodrow Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was the one who was the vanguard of all this, that, you know, we don't, you know, we want to leave everybody free. We don't want any of it. Mm-hmm. And probably the only good decision Woodrow Wilson made, because the worst one was, you know, watching the first movie about the KKK in the White House. I mean, like, this guy's crazy.
Well, and jumping into World War One. You got that going for him, so. Yeah, it's
better late than never. You know, that's the Democratic rallying call.
Right? Well, that's true. So, yeah. Well, yeah. When we look at on the world stage, I think I agree with you. I think after World War II, a lot of people expected Guam and Puerto Rico and some of these others to just sort of be rushed in as states, extra states, because we
like Samoa in the Southern Pacific. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, American Samoa. We did, we did Alaska and Hawaii, obviously, the last two to go in.
And then you have that other island in the Caribbean. Oh my gosh, off the coast of Venezuela. What's it called? It's gone out of my head.
Yeah.
Interesting that all these territories have representation in the House of Representatives. They like, but they don't have a vote.
Yeah,
but they're not voting. All territories have excuse me, have representation, equal representation, but they don't have a vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're, yeah. Well, that's as it should be, I guess. If they're going to be a territory of the U.S. or affiliated with the U.S., they ought to have some representation, I guess. Or
if you're going to believe in democracy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, got to be fair for one and all.
That's what they tell me. So. All right. Have we beat this horse to death, do you think?
We've covered it. It's in the books. It's on file. The film is up. Now, anyone in for the rest of all time can learn everything they need to know about Guantanamo Bay by watching our podcast. There you go.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Hey, thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified of our next podcast. That'll be Thursday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Like us. Leave a comment. YouTube really likes that if you do those kinds of things. So we hope that you enjoyed today. And a little information there. And Guantanamo's been kind of out in the news for quite a while. So we thought we'd bring you up to speed on what's going on down there. And
well, you know, it sort of came up with the your abandonment of Afghanistan, and people started talking about, because they were talking about how many of the Taliban that they let go, like you mentioned, and you know, they let them go on, you know, the promise they wouldn't get back involved, and now three of the five that left Guantanamo Bay, guess what, they're in the government, the Taliban government in Afghanistan. Wow. What an education they got. They got a great education, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't trade underlings. You don't trade for underlings. you trade for the big guys.
So,
all right. Linda, thanks for the information. Thank you, Linda, for being with us. We appreciate that very much. Happy to do it. And, we'll see everybody on Thursday. So
by the way, if we have a chance sometime in the future to get together for this thing you were talking about, like going to Yellowstone Park, you and I have to take Linda to lunch, okay? Because not dinner, okay, dinner and a bottle of wine, something. But we gotta sit down along with her and tell her she makes our Tuesdays and Thursdays very special.
Well, I think Linda's in Illinois, so I don't think she's gonna come here. We'll have to do it by Skype or something, maybe.
No, we're selling tickets, and you know, that's why we'll sell tickets to rent the buses and buy Linda an airplane ticket.
Okay, there you go. She's probably down with that. So
yeah, I'm down with it. You should be too.
All right. Absolutely. All right. Hey, don't forget, we're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, live. You can listen to us anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com, KMMSAM.com. Go over there. All you got to do is click listen live. There's no sign up. There's nothing to join, hoops you got to jump through. You know, all you got to do is listen, and you can call us, you can text us. And, also I got a notice the other day from the FBI that some people are not subscribed to this channel, Shane. So
that's good.
Yeah. Well, that's not good, because we want you to subscribe. You got to subscribe and ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment, because that's very important to keep us here and keep us operating. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. So we will see everybody on Thursday. Bye for now.